kids. Tell them we love them.
Very good, very good. Okay, anybody have the Friday count until Christmas? Anybody? There's always somebody though who's been counting the Fridays or the days till Christmas, right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you've been following along our 40-day purpose, if you haven't, let me tell you, we've got some books left. Our books are free. So if you didn't get a book and follow along for these 40 days with the book, you could still get the book and read it on your own. The readings are very short. Do one a day, take you 40 days to get through it, thus the 40 days of purpose. And very easy for you to do, so please grab you a book. If you can donate $5 to defray the cost, that's great. If you can't, that's okay too. But we want to get these books in your hand. But if you've been following along our 40 days of purpose, how many of you would say that, who've been walking with us, that overall this has been beneficial for your spiritual life? How many people would say that? Yeah, a lot of you, right? If you didn't follow with us through the 40 days, again, let me encourage you, you could get the book. The sermons are on our Facebook page. At least I think most, all of them are. All of them are on our Facebook page. You could go back and listen to the sermons. You can read the book. You don't have to be left behind in our study. So please, I want to encourage you to do that. But I think of all the weeks, I love the last week the best. And here's why. Because the message of the Apostle Paul is real, of Rick Warren rather, is real simple. Grow up! That's the message. How many of you are sports fans, particularly if you're a college football fan, and we are in college football season, and for those of us who love it, are just immersed in it and loving every Saturday? Nothing, I tell you what, but it is interesting, isn't it? If your team happens to have a young quarterback, how many times you sit in front of the TV and you want to say, grow up, don't you? I mean, they throw a pass, they throw an interception, they make a stupid read, they drop the ball. I mean, how do you drop the ball from center? I don't know how you do that. But they'll drop the ball, you know, during it being center, and you just want to yell to the quarterback, grow up. I wonder if sometimes our Heavenly Father doesn't look down at us and say, grow up. Do you think sometimes he may do that? We get caught in the same sins, the same struggles, the same habits, the same mindset, the same things that robbed us from our joy yesterday are robbing us from our joy today, the same things that are keeping us from having this unbelievable, fulfilled life that the Lord wants us to have. It robbed us yesterday, is robbing us today. It's just a continual issue of us being trapped because we don't grow up. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look very quickly at something, and the theme of today is real simple. It's about growing up. We can go through a great study. You can come to church, you know, 5-6 Sundays in a row, and all that is great. Glad to have you. Thank you for being here. It's a wonderful thing. But if we don't grow, if we don't take a step, if we don't advance, then I wonder if we're not robbing the Lord of an opportunity to do great things in our life. Because he really wants to do that. So, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to his friend Timothy, His brother in ministry, a pal that he ran around with. They were, Paul was buddies with him. Paul had led him to the Lord. Paul had trained him. He'd walked with him. He and Paul were good friends. They were pals. And Timothy is pastoring a church, and Paul's writing him a letter and saying, look, there are some things you got to do. Paul's approaching the end of his life by this point. He knows the end is near. He knows he's going to die. So he's trying to get these letters out to people that he cares about to encourage them and to help them along. I mean, in 30 years, I've been beside the bedside of a lot of people who have passed away. And those that are conscious in those last days or last weeks say things that are really important. They say things to their family, to their friends that maybe they had failed to say earlier in life, or maybe they had forgot to say recently. There's a lot of I love yous and I'm sorries. There's a lot of, man, I care about you, or man, I wish I would have done that. You know what's interesting? I've been beside a lot of those people. Never, ever heard one say, I wish I had worked more. Never, not one time. I've never heard one of them say, you know what, Bob, sure wish I would have worked more. Never, not once. You know, man, I wish I would have done something. But you always get the real deal when someone's getting close to moving on. Well, Paul's life is closing in. It's coming to an end. And so he writes this and he says this to his friend Timothy. He says, now I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, That word charge is a very cool word. Here's what it means. It means that Paul is sort of kept this picture, is grabbing Timothy sort of by the collar, pulling him close, getting right up in his face, and then slapping him in the head. Have you ever known anybody that needed to be slapped in the head with the truth? I mean, do you just know some people that, man, they're just walking through life in this haze and this fog, and they just need for somebody to slap them in the head with the truth? But you know, sometimes that doesn't work, but that's the idea Paul has with Timothy. He's slapping Timothy in the head. That word charge is a really strong word. And he's saying, Timothy, what I'm about to tell you is really, really important. Wake up and listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. It is that vital. Now, let me push the pause button. Here's what we know. Timothy's calling was clear. He was a preacher teacher. But I would argue with you today, his purpose is exactly the same as yours. His purpose in life is exactly the same. We're landing the plane on 40 days of purpose. So one of the things we're going to do today is give you a purpose statement for your life. Now, it's going to have a blank at the end that you're going to have to fill in. But we're going to give you a purpose statement that if you want to live for what's next, if you want to live for what's best, if you want the joy of the Lord in your life every day, if you want to wake up with meaning and purpose that transcends your job, your bank account, what the doctor says, what your bank book says, if you want that, we're going to offer that to you in just a little while. But right here and right now, here's the cool thing. Paul is saying to Timothy, wake up. Wake up. And here's what I'm having you wake up to do, to grow up. He says, I want you to grow up. I want you to realize some things that what's next is most important. He says, now I charge you. Bam, bam, wake up. He in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. He said, I want you to grow up. And here's one of the data points I'm going to give you to help you grow up. Okay? Data point number one, God is the judge of the living and the dead. So if you think you get away from God by dying, wrong answer. Because Scripture says that it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. No one gets to escape God. No one gets to escape God. You can't outrun the Lord. The psalmist said, Lord, where shall I run from your presence? Where can I flee from your sight? Can I go into the depths? No, you're there. Can I go to the top of the mountain? No, you're there. Can darkness hide me? You ever wonder why most of the things you do that you sort of know, you have a little inclination that maybe God's not going to be cool with it, you usually do it in the dark? Have you ever noticed that? That almost always you do those things in the dark. Why? Because there's something embedded in us as humans. We think if we do it in the dark, God doesn't see it. But the psalmist said, even the darkness can't hide what I do from you. Even the darkness doesn't hide me. So, he says this, God is the judge of the living and the dead. Timothy, grow up. Stop being a kid. Stop being pushed around. We'll talk about that in a minute. Stop being weak. Grow up, because God's the judge of the living and the dead. You don't get to outrun the judgment of God. I love Woody Allen. Now, he's an acquired taste if you've ever watched a Woody Allen movie, all right? Some of you have watched him and turned him off pretty quick, I'm sure. But Woody Allen is an acquired taste. Woody Allen is not a believer. He's a Jewish atheist. He admits that. But all of his movies have a conflict in it. There's a couple of conflicts. One is the conflict between him and his character mattering in life. He always has this struggle with mattering in life. Every movie, there's going to be a character, it's usually him, that is sort of the Eeyore kind of guy. You know, it's always raining, it's always cloudy, it's always gloomy, nobody loves me, I don't even know why I'm moving through life. That's sort of him in all of his movies. And then the second struggle is the struggle with God. And in one of his movies, Crimes and Misdemeanors, Judah Rosenthal is an ophthalmologist. He has a mistress who's about to out him to his wife and going to cost him a lot of money. So he kills her. He has her killed. And so he has her killed. And from that point on, his conscience begins to bother him. And he remembers at times in the movie where his rabbi, as a young child, would say, Judah, the eyes of God are always upon you. The eyes of God are always upon you. And this idea haunted him. Till at the end, he was able to kill his conscience and move on with a very empty, fractured life. Even the darkness doesn't hide you from the Lord. Death doesn't hide you. So Paul gives Timothy a data point and says, I want you to grow up because God is the judge of the living and the dead. And look what else he says. Here's another reason. He says, and by his appearing, the appearing that's going to come, and his kingdom. He says, I want you to grow up because God's going to come back. Now, I got to tell you, Paul thought, as believers did, that the Lord was going to show up in their time. We believe that today, and certainly he may. But there's no doubt, if you come from any sector of Christianity this morning, it doesn't matter what was on your doorpost or sign out front or on your bulletin, Baptist, Methodist, it doesn't matter. Every Christian denomination believes and teaches the doctrine that the Lord is going to return. Now, we can disagree with the events surrounding that. We can disagree in the order of that. But every Christian sect, every Christian denomination believes that Christ is coming again. There is no doubt about it. So Paul says, here's the deal. If the data point of God's the judge of the living and dead isn't going to get you, here's another data point. Jesus may come back before you die, and then you have to face him. Then you have to face him. I've told you before, and many of us were raised on this, and we've talked about this before. How many of you were raised that you couldn't go to movies because that was the devil's playhouse? Anybody? Raised, you could not go to the movies. Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite preachers of years ago said he wasn't allowed to go to the movies, and the preachers would scare him. Remember? I've told you about that. Preachers would scare him. They would stand up and say, don't go to the movies, because you could be sitting there in the movies, and the trumpet shall sound, and the clouds be rolled away, and the Lord could return, and you would be sucked out of that theater into heaven. And do you want to go from a theater into heaven right at that moment? And my friend would always say, no, I'll miss the rest of the movie. The reality is, the Lord may come back. This is a universally accepted and taught reality. So if growing up, the judgment of God, isn't it? How about having to face God right now, right like you are, with the thought, bam, right there in your mind, that thought that you just had. That one that you want now shoved aside. I didn't think that. I wasn't thinking that. Right, that thought right there, that thought would be laid and exposed before the Lord right then. So he says to Timothy, grow up. Now the next thing he says, do your purpose, Timothy, no matter what. Look at how he says it beginning in verse 2. He says, now preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths and legends. So he says this. He says, Timothy, here's what, the second thing I want you to grow up and do your purpose. Whatever your purpose is, Timothy, do it. Now for Timothy, his purpose was clear. Are you ready? Because here's going to be your purpose statement too if you don't have it. The first part of Timothy's purpose statement was this. He was to advance the gospel, grow disciples, and care for the hurting. That's the first part of his purpose statement. The second part is by teaching and preaching God's word. That was his gifting. That was his shape. That's what God had equipped him to do. If you're here today and you have no purpose statement, let me offer you this for your consideration as the first part. You exist not to work. Work is what you do. It's a responsibility. It's a task. One day you won't work. Can I at least get an amen on that? All right. One day you won't have to work, right? That is what you do. That is not your purpose. Okay? Well, I'm a mom. Again, you're a mom forever, but your kids are going to leave and mom life is going to change. It's absolutely going to change. Well, no, my purpose is a grandmother. No, it's not. Your grandkids are going to grow up and leave, and that's going to change. And God forbid, something could happen to your kids. And if your purpose is being a mom, then you have no purpose. That is not the best living level. Here is your purpose as a believer. It is to advance the gospel. It is to grow disciples. It is to care for the hurting. By fill in the blank, by whatever your gifting and calling is. Your purpose is about the movement of God's kingdom, and you do that by the way you're shaped. You don't have to do it like I do it. You don't have to do it like Ryan does it. You don't have to do it like these guys up here who sing and play music do. You don't have to do it like that. But there's something that God has gifted you to do. There is something God has skilled you to do by the moment you were saved. He put it in your heart and put it in your life. That is what you do to accomplish your purpose. Your purpose is always about the advancement of the kingdom of God. Timothy's was to advance the kingdom of God through preaching and teaching. So Paul said this. Paul gave him a principle. Two principles here about his purpose. One, be ready to do it all the time. Whatever your gifting and calling is, we have a shape class coming up on the 17th of November. Right, Jennifer, raise your hand. That's Jennifer over there. Jennifer leads that. And it's going to help you discover how God put you together for your purpose. It's going to show you. It's going to help you discover what your gifts are, what your abilities are, what your experience are. It's going to help you know what you do to advance the gospel. It might not be what you think. So that's why we offer this class. And you can talk to Jennifer afterwards. She can give you a brief synopsis on it. She'll let you know all the stuff that goes on there. But you need to attend. If you're doing nothing in the kingdom of God, you need to get off the bench. It's time to grow. Nobody's happy about this. I mean, this is not a happy day. How about if I said it's God's will for you to grow rich? How many of you would be happier? Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking because I'm nice. Right? But growing up is hard. It is difficult. But God is saying to all of us, grow up. Here's your mission. Here's your purpose. Advance the gospel. Grow disciples. Care for the hurting by fill in the blank. In our context, Timothy, by the preaching and teaching of the word, it says be ready all the time. Be ready all the time to preach and teach. If you call me in the middle of the night and let me get a couple cups of coffee in me, right? I will be ready to talk to you about the things of God. I might not be able to talk to you about anything else, but I'll be ready to talk to you about the things of God. Give me a chance to preach. Let me walk into a church visiting and the preacher, you know, loses voice. Give me 5 minutes and I can talk for an hour. Anybody doubt me on that? Every preacher can. It's not just me. Everybody with the gift can do it. Wayne, somebody slap him back there. I mean, no doubt, if you find that gifting, listen, it's not just me. I'm not that unique. Really not. When you find what you're created to do to advance God's kingdom, you will be exactly the same way. You will be exactly the same way. Whatever that gifting is, you will be able to do it in a minute with a great attitude and with good effect. God doesn't favor me. He favors you. He loves you. So when you find your skill, your ability, your gift, and you connect that with the advancement of the gospel, the growing of people, and the care for others, you will be able to do it just that fast. But the second thing he says is, he says, look, here's what's going to happen. Principle one, be ready. Principle two, people wander. He says, people are going to leave. They're going to abandon you. They're going to have itching ears. They're not going to want to hear what you have to say. They're not going to want to receive your purpose. They're not going to want to receive it. Understand, God's going to lay on your heart people that you love and care for. And you're going to want to minister to them and you're going to want to care for them. But they will go through seasons where they don't want to receive that. They won't receive it for a number of reasons. Maybe they're physically sick and they don't feel good. Maybe they're mentally sick and they're confused. Maybe they're spiritually sick and want to isolate and be alone with their struggle and try to sort it out. But there will be times when you will have the best of intentions and the best of motives and people won't receive it. It's not that they hate you. It's that they're in a bad spot. And that just happens. The 20th century church, 21st century church, it is very difficult to teach God's word without apology in the 21st century. What this verse says about people who have my gifting, it says that people will abandon the teaching of the truth and they will begin to follow myths. Can I give you some myths that are killing us as a church right here? And that's killing us as a community. Here's some myths. It is God's will for everyone to be rich. Now, how many of you wish that was true? All of you, raise your hands. A bunch of liars right here in church. All of you wish that was God's will. Man, we all do. Man, I wish it was God's will for all of us to be rich. The problem is, it's not. It's just not. Does God bless sound wisdom? Yes. Does he bless a work ethic? Yes. Does he bless working smart? Yes. Does he bless a plan? Yes. If you have, you know the old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? Does God bless a plan? Yes. Are there amazing blessings available in our financial life? Yes. If we work hard. But it's not God's will for everyone to win the Powerball, so don't pray it. But in case you win the Powerball, we do accept tithes and offerings. And we're really not joking on that. So, it's a myth. Here's another myth. God's more important, that your kingdom and your comfort is more important than God's. That's another myth. Your kingdom is more important than God's kingdom. That's a myth. My kingdom is going to fade. Everything I build can be taken care of by one strategically placed hurricane. Everyone in Florida knows this. Every one of us are Floridians. We know this. If you're visiting here and you're not from Florida, trust us when we tell you that a well-placed hurricane can take care of anything you build with your hands. It is just true. Our kingdom, about our interest, our desires, what we want, what we believe is most important. If it doesn't reflect God's values, it will lead you to a dead end and to a hurting spot. And that's not God's will for you. His will is for you to walk into his kingdom and to do his work. And you have unbelievable joy that accompanies that. He is saying to Timothy, Timothy, there are people who are not going to receive your teaching and your gifting and your purpose because they're going to run away to an inferior place. How many of you rather somebody, you go to a doctor, okay? Now think with me. You go to a doctor, you get all these tests done. How many of you want the doctor to come in and lie to you? Do you? I mean, do you really want the doctor to come in and lie to you? Oh, yeah, we got all these tests back and everything's great. Go home, man. He is awesome. And there are some really serious problems that a simple surgery would fix and you could have a real happy life. But there is going to be a little pain in the journey. All of us want doctors who tell us the truth. Kindly, and in words we understand, hello, right? We want them in, you know, words we understand, and we want them kindly delivered, but we want the doctor to tell us the truth. I'm afraid that in the 21st century church, we're growing people who really don't want the truth. They want to live an illusion. Well, just prior to this, Paul says to Timothy, God judges the living and the dead. What does that mean implicitly? Implicit in that statement means death is coming. So know the truth. Your purpose is to advance the gospel, to grow disciples, and to care for the hurting by however God has gifted you to do it. If you don't know what that is, see Jennifer after church. She'll help you discover it. Timothy's was preaching and teaching. Now finally, quickly. Finally, Paul says something very grating in verse 5. It says, now as for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelist, fulfill your ministry or your purpose. Fulfill it. The first thing he says is endure. He says, always be sober-minded. Sober-minded means to be aware, be alert, have your thought process correctly structured. We could get in a lot of trouble when we think wrong about things. We can. So God says, think right about things. There's some myths that slip in that rob us of meaningful relationships. How about this one? The grass is always greener on the other side, right? You're in a relationship, you're in a marriage, you've hit that 25, 30-year point, things start to get a little flatlined, and you're looking, well, things are always better. Boy, she's always better. He's always better. They're always better. Look at that marriage over there. They just seem to be happy. That one's always, whoa, that one's prettier. I'm going to trade my 40 for two 20s. You know, boom, 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 right? All right? And you know, we go through all this stuff, right? I mean, man, and we're going that. And then here's what we find out when we crawl on the other side of the fence where the green grass is. It's on a septic tank. The grass might be greener, but it might be growing in a rough spot. That is a lie that slips into our mind, that slips into our culture, that will rob us from God's best. So it falls on a guy like me to have to stand up here and say that. Now half of you are not going to talk to me when you see me tomorrow. That's all right. I had a feeling once. It got hurt, so I threw it out. Now I have no feelings. It's better that way. Scripture says, be sober-minded. Think correctly. How do we know how to think correctly? The book. The book. You can never think correctly without the book in your life. You can never think correctly without the scriptures in your life. You can never think correctly without having people speak into your life the word of God. Let me say this to you, and I really mean this. Now listen, if you don't grow and learn from me, if you don't grow and learn from Ryan, if you don't grow and learn from other pastors who stand up here and preach, find somewhere you do. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Because your growing spiritual life is more important than you sitting here and not growing. Find a place where you grow. If we're not it, I'm sorry we're not. I wish we were. But it's more important for you to grow in your faith than sit here. Get online. Find someone online who can speak to you. There's a gob of great preachers out there. I mean, the A-plus kind. There are a bunch of them. Find a place where you grow, where you get that information and can be sober-minded, where you can think in the right way. Now, the second thing he says, understand, do your ministry, do your purpose. That's what he's saying. Do your purpose. Be sober. Endure suffering. Endure suffering. The American church really doesn't understand suffering. The Christian church doesn't understand suffering. We think suffering is tithing at church. Oh, that's suffering. We think suffering is having to work Grace Kids. That is a blessing. Suffering is middle school. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows purgatory is real, and it's middle school. The place between heaven and hell where you pay for your sins. We all know this. Right? I mean, we all get it. Suffering. Let me tell you about suffering. The same guy who wrote Timothy, Paul, wrote to another church called the church at Corinth. And listen to what he says. He says, I have been in far more labors. I have been in far more imprisonments with countless beatings, as often as I can remember near death. Now listen to this. This is the guy who said endure suffering. He's not preaching from a comfortable seat by the Sea of Galilee, you know, drinking some wine and writing his memoirs. Listen to what this guy went through. You ready? Now see if you can own up to this one. He said, 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. I live with a math teacher. That means 39 lashes. Right? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, day and night, adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, I was in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, and without food, in cold and exposure. And listen to this, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety because of all the churches. Who is weak? Not me. Who is going to fall? Not me, and I'm not being prideful about it. Here was a guy who said, grow up! Be tough! Be a Christian! Stand on the truth. There's 3.4 million Muslims in America today. This isn't a political statement. This is a religious statement. I'm not a politician. You don't have to vote for me on anything. Here's true. 3.4 million Muslims. By the year, in 20 years, there'll be 8.5 million Muslims in America. Right now in America, just by contrast, not by comparison, we all know members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We all know Mormons. We know Mormons in our community. There are 6.3 million Mormons in America. How many of us know Mormons? How much influence do they have in our community? A lot. We're only doing this by comparison. That's all. Just for a number comparison. That's all. In 20 years, there will be more Muslims with more influence throughout this nation than anywhere else. Politics isn't the answer. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Christians being Christian is the answer. People standing on the truth, lovingly, kindly, and graciously, standing on the truth and communicating the truth. That is the answer. The answer is every one of us embracing our God-ordained purpose to advance the gospel, grow disciples, and care for the hurting by fulfilling and doing what God has shaped us to do. That is our purpose. That is why we live. That is why we breathe. That is why God gives us health and a sound mind. Is to advance His kingdom, not to build ours. I love you. Every single one of you. I love you exactly where you are. So does the Lord. If you choose to ignore this and not grow up, I'm still going to love you. God's going to love you. But understand the implications of that. You will rob yourself of a joy-filled life that the Lord wants to give you. You will rob others around you of influence that you can have in their lives with the gospel and with the truth. You will rob them of that. If you stay immature and don't grow up, eventually churches die. Grace is starting its fifth year. Promised you that I would do my best to assess where we are starting our fifth year. So let me just say a couple things. Here's where I am starting our fifth year, a few months into it. We've got to pray more. We've got to pray more. So, let me tell you a story. Don't worry, we're going to cut out all the end stuff. Some of you might be watching your clock. We'll cut out all the end stuff. We'll let you go in just a minute. I want to be sensitive to your time. Years ago, I lived in Chattanooga. I went to a church, visited a church in Atlanta called Rehoboth Baptist Church. It's outside of Atlanta. Some of you who ran around Atlanta might remember Rehoboth Baptist Church. Ryan, do you remember it? Yeah, it's not there anymore. It's become something else, bigger and different. But we went down to Rehoboth to a Sunday night meeting. Now, some of you come from churches that had Sunday night church, right? Some of you come from traditions that never had that. But some of you come from traditions that had Sunday night church. Well, this was a Sunday evening deal. And so we went, and we got there about 45 minutes early from the start of the service. And we walked in, and by that point, now check this out. By that point, we had to sit in the balcony. Now, we were 45 minutes early, so I thought. So we got in, got up to the balcony, and at the altar, their platform area, of course, obviously way bigger than ours, they were 2 and 3 deep of lines of people praying at the altar. So I promise you, we thought we were late. I was just sure with Atlanta traffic and everything, I'm thinking, you know, we've come in here at the end of this deal. Well, I found an usher, and I asked if I could speak to him, and there was a foyer area to the side. So we walked off to the side, this little foyer area. And I said, what time did this start? He told me, and I checked my, back then we had watches. I checked my watch, and I said, oh man, we're early. I said, is it always like this? He said, what do you mean? I said, it's packed. And I said, that's fine, but the altar is packed. He said, oh, yeah. He said, that's normal here. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, on Sunday nights, the rule is, and everybody gets it, the pastor and the service won't start until everyone's left the altar. Because this is when we intercede for our friends. This is when we pray for God to move. This is when we ask for healing. This is when we ask for deliverance of the things that have shackled us. This is when we do serious business with the Lord. He said most nights the pastor doesn't preach. He'll just come up, and when people are done praying, he'll say a few words, we'll pray, and we'll go home. Here's what I know. I can't make that happen. I'm not smart enough, and I don't have command of the language to persuade you to do that enough. I am limited. I get it. I can't do that. But you can. You can care. You can believe that God is big enough that if you seek him in prayer, he answers and does amazing things in your life. You can do that. We need to pray. We have some prayer ministries. Now, some of you are saying about coming up here and praying, said, oh, Terry, I could never come up and pray in public. Oh, I would be so embarrassed. Okay, I want to say to you what you just felt. Okay, I want to say it out loud. I would be embarrassed to pray in church. Well, I thought it was pretty funny. I would be embarrassed to pray in church. That's what some of you are feeling right now. Why? Oh, heavens, why? Why would you be embarrassed to seek the face of the living God on behalf of other people or your struggles in church? Why? But Terry, you don't know my life. Well, you don't know my life. How could I ever pray? God won't hear me? Yeah, he will. He saved you knowing everything you were going to do. He'll definitely hear you. He may whip you up a little bit, get you in shape, but hey, you know, it's always best. But I got something for you. See, we have a fix for this. If you're afraid to come up here and pray, we have not one, but two prayer rooms. And nobody's going to stare at you. We got a prayer room right out this door, up the steps, right over here. If we had a window, it would be right over there in that corner, right up above there, right up there. Okay, and we have another prayer room. Another prayer room is go out these doors, go up the steps. When you get to the top of the steps, take a right, go down about two doors, and it's on the right. It'll be open. I think there's even a sign that says prayer room. We're creative like that, right? Where you can go and pray. May I say something to you very honestly? When we started the church, I don't know if you guys who were here at the beginning, I used to encourage this, and I just sort of stopped encouraging it, and I apologize. I shouldn't have stopped. But I used to encourage you, at any time during the service, if God's dealing with you, leave. Leave and go to the prayer room. Leave and go to the prayer room. It is more important for you to do business with God than listen to me. Every day. If God's dealing with you, go do business with the Lord. You're not going to bother anybody walking out, especially me. You're not going to bother anybody. Go do business with the Lord. Maybe you come to church one Sunday and your heart's so heavy you can't do anything and you need somebody to pray with you. There are people in this room up here, in the back of this table, who will pray with you. We need to pray. Second, we need to get tough. This scripture reminded me, we've got to get tough. And when I mean tough, I don't mean mean and hard. I mean clearly principled. Living our life clearly by the principles of scripture. Here's what I mean by that. Dads, lead your home. That's popular. Lead your home. Men, lead. Lead. Be a leader. Ladies, if they're not, you lead. And ask God to help their lazy butt. I said butt, shut up. I can say it if I want to. Ask Ask God to help them. Folks, we're losing the country. And we're not losing the country because of the Republicans or the Democrats. We're losing the country because the Church of the Living God is not growing up. Grow up. Look, you know me. We've journeyed together for a while. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to be your friend no matter what you do. If you never step foot in Grace again, I'm going to love you and be your friend if you let me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to pray for you because I like you. But because I love you, I have to say what is best, what I know with every cell of my body is best for you. And it is best for you to have a life purpose statement that's this: I live, I exist to advance the gospel, to grow people, and to care for others by doing what God has shaped and equipped me to do, whatever that is. I know that is the best way to live because I've lived a lot of others. And everybody in this room knows that. I've run down a lot of other roads. And I'll tell you, the dead ends are fast and hard. Amen. I'm begging you, in the name of Jesus, to pray, to get tough, to grow up in Christ Jesus. If we can pray for you or help you in any way, we will. Because we love you that much. If our church can help you in any way, we will. Because we love you that much. We just want what's best for you. Because God does. Amen? Pray with me, please.